Odyssey knows that football fans can't get enough football. That's why we've got nonstop football coverage on the free Odyssey app. Podcasts and live shows dedicated to every pro team. NFL play-by-play and enough game talk for the most diehard fans. Local radio stations talking football, interviews with star players and coaches, and football fans being fans.
What kind of play calling was that?
Listen to everything you love about football, live and on demand with the free Odyssey app. Get in the game and download today.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket Podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important. Give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Are you watching the Yankees and Mariners? Because they're still going. It's like the Energizer Bunny. If only the Energizer Bunny had any idea how to coach up the Yankees when it comes to base running. Oy, three innings in a row, all of them extra innings, the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th. The Yankees run themselves right out of the go-ahead score. Base running blunders. I think they need to hold a clinic. Could you imagine, like Little League, they make the Yankees show up early after this lengthy game, which now 11 o'clock in the Pacific Northwest. After this lengthy game that started 4 hours ago, they make Aaron Judge and Andrew Benintendi, and actually it was not Aaron Judge, but Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Who else? All kinds of funny base running blunders. If you're not a Yankee or a Yankees fan, they were funny. It's like the Bad News Bears. Just bad decisions. Way too much adrenaline fueling the anticipation. So here they are in the top of the 13th. And they're still going. Now give credit to the Mariners and the Yankees pitchers. They have been tremendous with a couple assists here and there from the defense as well as the poor base running. But this game is scoreless in the top of the 13th. This is a great example of how the cheap and gimmicky runner on second base in extra innings doesn't guarantee you anything. It's like the Yankees are trying not to score. I'm telling you, make them wake up, 9 a.m., get to the field, base running clinic. You'd think the game's so easy, right? Nah. Top of the 13th, nobody out. Oh, I take it back. One out, strikeout, two runners on base for the Yankees. They're seeking win number 72. Mariners, though, very much in a battle, even as it's early August, they're in a battle for wild card position and want to end that playoff drought that is talked about ad nauseum whenever the Mariners come up. And that includes yours truly, because I had a conversation with a Seattle insider, Seattle writer, about a month ago, and of course we talked about 2001. So we'll keep our eyes on that game. We've got Marco Belletti, who's also delivering updates at the bottom of the hour. I'll try not to steal his thunder. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's the hump show, you guys. Middle show of the work week. I can't decide if the week is flying by or if it's crawling. I suppose it's a little of both. The heat wave makes it feel like it's crawling. However, the shows and the extra work that goes into them without a regular producer. Producer Jay is not here. And in fact, producer Carlos just like took off out of the control room just right now. It's totally fine. I can do this show solo. Just leave my mic on and I'm good to go. So it's the hump show. We're all watching baseball. Everybody in the pool. Ooh, I could use a pool. I could do a show from a pool. Actually, my bucket list item for this radio show, from the deck of an aircraft carrier, preferably in San Diego or Texas. That'd be fun. I have to get on that. I'm certain the bosses or the managers around here couldn't care less what I want, so they're not going to do it. I may have to do it myself. That would be fun for the wintertime. We'll work on that at some point later in 2022 once this game is over. So it's our hump show, which means you get to ask Amy anything. Now, typically, the producer does the selecting of the questions and then the asking of the questions, but we're going to change it up tonight. A first in my nearly 10 years of hosting the show. 9 years with Ask Amy Anything. No kidding. We started this going back to those weekend shows that I did. So when I first started, for those of you who don't know, 2013-14, my shows were Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. And then I would fill in all over everywhere else. So then once we moved to our regular time slot here on weeknights, well, we positioned Ask Amy Anything in the middle of the work week. So dead center, we call it the hump show. Help you to get over the hump. Normally, I do not see the questions beforehand unless I cheat, but I try not to cheat. I'm trying to think the number of producers I've had since, not counting fill-in producers, the number of producers I've had since I've worked here. Let's see. And no, it's not because I chased them away. Okay, maybe a few of them on purpose. Not every producer is created equal. Let's see. Tom, Pete, Anthony, Chris, Dave, Jay. Oh, not as many as I thought. That's not including fill-in producers. That would double the number. But seven, I think Jay is my seventh actual producer of the show. So typically, I let the producers field the questions and ask the questions. In fact, we just did a video version of Ask Amy Anything not that long ago. It was actually last month. We were decked out in our red, white, and blue. At least I was. Jay thought he was, but he wasn't really. We did it from a park in Lower Manhattan, not that far from work. So we've done a lot of Ask Amy Anythings where the producer fields the questions, but not tonight. I'm going to choose the questions, so send them to me. I've already put a post up on our show Twitter. You can see it after Hours CBS, or you can go directly to my Twitter, A-Law Radio. And I did include the link to our video version on the YouTube channel. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to answer these questions as quickly as possible. I might just page through them and answer as many as I can. And we're going to do that 2 hours from now. So you have a couple hours, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook. And no, I don't answer inappropriate questions, nor do I talk about who I'm dating. So none of those are questions that are going to be answered. So you can spare it. When I have something to share about my personal life, I will. But generally, I don't respond to the questions about whether... I tell you funny stories about my dating life, though. So anyway, you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And then when you have time, you can check out the video version of Ask Amy Anything, which is on our YouTube channel. There's a lot to get to tonight. Looking forward to it. But as an update, Gleyber Torres at the dish. One out, top of the 13th, bases loaded for the Yankees. Let's see if they can go four innings in a row with a base running blunder or just strike out, in which case the bases and the base runners matter not at all. It was a day of Roger Goodell. It was a day of an NFL team officially changing hands. And I'm trying to think about when I first started in this business. So I've done 20 years in full-time sports radio. And while I knew some of the owners of NFL teams when I first started, Not all of them. It wasn't a thing. You pretty much knew who owned the team that you rooted for, and that was kind of it. You never knew the names of referees or officials. Now everybody does. You didn't really know the names of offensive and defensive coordinators outside of, again, your own teams. Now we're on a first-name basis with all these people in the NFL. I've actually had officials on my show, for heaven's sakes. That was never going to happen back when I started. And so I was trying to think how many teams whose owners I could have named 20 years ago. And there probably weren't many. Now, I'm kind of a bad gauge, or not a fair gauge, because I do this for a living. But I wonder sometimes if casual football fans or casual sports fans pay attention to who owns the team, who writes the check, so to speak. Mariners get out of it. Bases loaded, one out. No runs score. And the Yankees are, and the Mariners, they're both showing you how to squander opportunities. So we're heading to the bottom of the 13th. Here's what I do know. Even if casual fans aren't all that interested in who owns the team, although in the case of the Broncos, it's the same family that owns Walmart. So we're talking about a pretty high-profile family in the U.S. A lot of people, sports fans or not, could tell you about the Walton family who owns Walmart. In this case, a daughter and a son-in-law. So it's a family affair. And we'll hear from the Walton Penner family, the Waltons and the Penners, coming up. Penner, by the way, Penners is one of the nicknames I have for my dog. In case you're wondering. So, even if you don't know who takes over as the owner of the Denver Broncos after years and years of the team being owned and run by the Bolin family, Pat Bolin, of course, passing away from Alzheimer's a few years ago. Even if you didn't know anything about the Broncos ownership group, and they've got a lot of different people involved as minority owners. Condoleezza Rice, of course, Peyton Manning. There's a lot of different people that are involved. And so I think that's cool. They gave people an opportunity to buy in. What you do know, or what you should know, or what you're interested in, is that the latest franchise to sell in the NFL cost this family $4.65 billion. Think about that. It's a record for any sports franchise, of course. But $4.65 billion. And then you think about the number one team in terms of its worth being the Dallas Cowboys. And you recognize that before too long, and this may not apply to every sport, but certainly in the NFL, it's going to be upwards of $10 million for these franchises. Now, the NFL is a cash cow. If you can buy in, you're golden. It doesn't seem to matter what mistakes, miscues, PR messes, or disasters, what athlete, trying to think of the right way to put it, what poor choices by athletes, maybe even criminal activity by athletes, coaches getting exposed and resigning, it doesn't matter. The NFL as a whole just keeps chugging along. And the stated goal of Commissioner Roger Goodell is a $25 billion, the B word, $25 billion a year industry. That's his goal. There's a reason why he makes as much money as he does. Because the NFL is making money hand over fist. And even with 2020, and we saw every sports league in 2020 lose money because of the empty stadiums, the empty venues. Certainly the economy causing some corporate partners to take a step back. But after one down year, the NFL is skyrocketed north again. And they're closing in on that $25 billion a year goal for revenue. And so for now, the Denver Broncos become the most expensive franchise in sports, meaning highest price tag ever. And of course, the NFL owners unanimously approved the Walton Penner ownership group. No doubt they want the Walmart family to be involved in all that money they infuse. But the next franchise to sell will bring in even more money. It's like quarterback market, right? Where it's just the next quarterback who sells. The next quarterback who signs, the next team that sells. So congratulations to the Pat Bowlen family. Certainly ran the Denver Broncos successfully, classy, until the end where there was some infighting in the family. You can understand that. But they were champions multiple times, 7 Super Bowl appearances, more than a dozen division titles after the Bolins took over the team. And now it will be a brand new group with a lot of money to spend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. It's now the Mariners' opportunity with runners in scoring position. Bottom of the 13th. Runners at second and third, not that the runner at second matters. One out. Just had a successful sacrifice bunt laid down by the Mariners. What? So we're keeping our eyes on that game. It's now well over 4 hours if you're keeping score at home. And not only did we have this transfer of ownership officially ratified by the NFL owners, but Roger Goodell speaking at that special meeting, but also facing questions about the league's appeal of the Deshaun Watson suspension. He will tell you why. Aaron Rodgers, thank goodness, not talking about psychedelic drugs this time. I wonder if anyone's been asking. And in that same NFC North division, yet another trade request. It's like you're going to see a bunch of NFL players just kind of throw their hat in the ring. Well, if it worked for this guy, let me see if it works for me. Very often it comes down to wanting a new contract extension. Speaking of that, Sean McVay's got one. So you know all that talk about how he was going to walk away. Not so fast. Serena Williams indicates that retirement is on the horizon and tells Vogue magazine when she believes the end will come to her storied Hall of Fame, epic, unprecedented career. And then baseball. We have a lot to get to. Shohei Ohtani on the mound tonight. And the Yankees in Seattle still scoreless, bottom of the 13th. Though now we have bases loaded with one out. All right, lot to do, as I say. It's going to fly, I know it. It's the Hump Show, middle show of the work week. Our phone number, if you would like to call up and tell us how your ashes will be buried next to those of your late cat, like 80-year-old Dean in Texas. I mean, I feel like it's important to have an end-of-life plan. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and our Facebook page. Send me your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Oh, and we've got some Hall of Flame sound for you tonight, some candidates as the newest version of Hard Knocks hits HBO. Oh, the Lions, they might be the best specimen yet. Walk off for the Seattle Mariners. We will get that call for you in the bottom of the 13th. We'll flip it as soon as we can. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Comes set the waist. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Came inside with a slider. Torres goes down. There are two outs. 0-2. Swing and a bouncer over towards shortstop. Crawford has it. Throws to first. It's in time. And the side is retired here in the 13th. The pitch. Swung on, line drive, past Torres into right field, it's a base hit. Suarez scores from third, and the game is over.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Obviously not the Seattle Mariners call there. Instead, that's our friend Justin Shackle and Yankees Radio. You can hear the disappointment. But also maybe some fatigue. No, he's good. He and Susan Waldman, part of the Yankees radio network that called the 13 full innings of this game that lasted well more than 4 hours. We had that given to us quickly by our New York affiliate, but we'll get the Mariners walk-off call because no doubt that's a lot more exciting. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, we're looking for your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And tonight I will be picking them. So we've got producer Carlos, who's filling in for producer Jay. But because Carlos has got plenty on his plate, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to run through the questions and ask as many or answer as many of them as I can. So I guess ask and answer as many of them as I possibly can. We'll get your update here momentarily. And so you get caught up on all of the scores and all the highlights. But while we're talking baseball, did you see yet another gem from Shohei Ohtani as the Angels not only get the shutout, but Ohtani hits home run number 25. Do we have that audio, producer Carlos? All right, let's play it.
Angels have good speed on the bases. Next pitch to Ward. He swings and hits a ball well out into left field. This is out by the out-of-town scoreboard, and it is out of here. A three-run homer there by Ward, his 15th of the season. The Angels will add on. It's now 4-0. Next pitch, Shohei drives the ball deep out into right field, and this one is out of here. He jumped on that pitch. Ohtani's second hit of the night. A home run for Shohei, adding to his season total, number 25. And here on this Tuesday, it's showtime.
Terry Smith on Angels Radio. And even if the Angels aren't part of a playoff run, and right now they're not, and we're wondering about Mike Trout, of course, Shohei Ohtani remains an Angel. And I think it, in my opinion, was ridiculous that the Angels would even entertain offers to trade him because they still have him under contract for another year. There's no need to trade him. And as bad as they've been, they're fading 15 games below 500, not going to be part of the American League wild card race unless something completely crazy happens. Shohei's the reason why you pay attention to Angels baseball. On the road in Oakland, and not only does he go 2-for-3 with his 25th home run, but he also picks up win number 10 as the starting pitcher. Double figure wins. 6 innings pitched, no runs on 4 hits. He strikes out 5 and he throws 91 pitches. His ERA is 2.68. So even though I don't believe he's the MVP again this year, it's still historic what he's doing and every time he steps on the mound. So Shohei Ohtani and the Angels at least give you a reason to tune in every few days, right? Remember when they fired Joe Maddon? Because it was definitely Joe Maddon's fault. Ohtani, as always, pitched well, and his interim manager, Phil Nevin, loves to rave about him.
every time we're out there. I mean, he does something special, and tonight's certainly another great milestone for him. I thought he threw the ball really well. A lot more fastballs today, established that, which I liked, and, you know, really did a good job through six innings. You try not to take for granted what we're seeing every night, but it's pretty awesome to be a part of. Certainly is. He's a great teammate in here. So these things don't go by us lightly. You know, I'm sure they talked about it in here while I'm out here with you guys, and you know, certainly a really cool thing to be a part of.
Would you like your Shohei Ohtani nerd alert? I feel like we've done this on a pretty regular basis this season. Nerd alert! Shohei and Babe Ruth. Oh, anytime you're in the same breath as a Babe Ruth, it's got to be a big breath for Babe Ruth. Anytime you're in the same breath, you know it's history. Only players ever to have at least 10 home runs and 10 wins on the mound in the same season. Only ones. Babe Ruth did it in 1918. I won't do the math for you, but it's over 100 years ago. And Shohei Ohtani does it in 2022. At least 10 home runs and 10 wins in the same season. Now, according to the Angels, I like this. There were two players from the Negro Leagues who also did it. Bullet Rogan of the 1922 Kansas City Monarchs and Ed Ryle of the 1927 Detroit Stars. But still, not anything in modern baseball. So that's awesome. Good for you, Shohei. And yes, Phil Nevin's right. Every time he's out there, it's worth paying attention to because it generally turns into a piece of baseball history. Although they have absolutely nothing to do with the playoffs, which is a problem. Mariners do, though, as they get the walk-off against the Yankees. We'll get the details coming up. Yankees need to make their guys wake up early for a base-running clinic on Wednesday. It's like what you do when you are in college and you have a sucky game the night before and your coaches make you run, make you do a two-a-day the next day. Seattle is in that second wild-card spot, half game up on the Rays. So they flip spots tonight. Blue Jays are still holding the number one spot in the American League wild card. All right, so we're just scratching the surface. Coming up, we're going to hear from Roger Goodell, as well as the newest ownership group in the NFL. Also, Serena Williams announces her intention, sort of announces her intention to retire. She did just win her first singles match of the year, so it's good to see her back on the tennis court as well. But as she points out, she'll be 41 soon. Something's got to give. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. I'm picking tonight, Ladies' Choice. Do you remember that Marco Belletti is here with us in studio? Did you ever go roller skating when you were a kid?
No.
No? Okay. No. Well, in New Hampshire, when I was in elementary school, and probably even into junior high, one of our favorite weekend activities was to go to the roller skating rink. And there would always be a ladies' skate. When you were in third grade, it was really funny, though. Y'all giggled, right? And the boys, like, avoided you. They like, went into the bathroom or hung out in a group. Boys. What's wrong with you boys, anyway?
We got a lot of time for that. We got 2.5 hours on the show. I don't think that's enough.
Can I read you guys something that popped up on our Facebook page? I love this. Not like anyone has to tell me because I'm Marco's biggest fan. But earlier, well, because Marco, he hangs out with us a couple nights a week. So we don't get him every night. In fact, I can't really keep up with Marco's schedule. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
How do I do it?
It's supposed to be 4 nights that I would be hanging out with you. At some point, hopefully that'll be the case.
Yep.
But okay. I can't tell you when that'll be.
All right. So we got a comment from Lauren, L-O-R-I-N, on our Facebook page about how Marco Belletti should be involved every hour of the show. Ooh, sign me up. So Lauren says, I love his passion And of course, I wrote back to him that no one loves Marco more than me because we actually started together here on the weekends 10 years ago. Look at us now. I don't feel like we've advanced so much, but here we are.
Oh, you have. 10 years.
I'm still just talking for a living.
It's still kind of wild.
Yeah, at the end of this year, December 31st, it will be 10 years.
Oh, that's right. We're coming up on our anniversary. Yeah.
CBS Sports Radio. Is that crazy?
Yeah. Because I still remember, going through the process and everything was so brand new. We didn't know where we were going to be. Boom. What studio are we taking?
Or if we were going to last.
Yeah.
We're still here. Yeah. Survive in advance, baby. First decade about to be in the books. That's crazy, right?
That is kind of nuts. Hopefully we're doing something
for that. Yeah, I was just going to say, in fact, you and I may be, unless you don't work New Year's Eve. But I always work New Year's Eve because there's so much football going on. I'm going to look and see what. I think it's a Sunday night. It is a Sunday night. Oh, it's an NFL Sunday. Shoot, you might want to have to request that.
Request to work on my normal day off? I don't know if I'm going to do that one.
On New Year's Eve.
This should be my first New Year's Eve off.
Ever?
Ever? No. Over a decade? Yes. Probably pushing 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
So I think I might take it if I can get it this time.
The idea of having holidays and weekends off is relatively foreign if you work in this business, especially during football season. But this year, Christmas and New Year's Eve fall on a Sunday. Christmas and New Year's fall on a Sunday. So New Year's Eve is actually a Saturday, excuse me. They both fall on Sundays, meaning that they're NFL Sundays. But the NFL cannot lure me to work on Christmas. I refuse. But I will work on New Year's and New Year's Eve because that's just, I don't want to say it's a holiday. New Year's Eve isn't actually a holiday, but it's a night for people to get stupid. And I feel safer in my studio.
That's very fair. I will say this, and I'm not going to deny it. It's been over a decade. I'm going to try to take as many holidays as I can.
There you go.
Where I'm actually going to get paid for them. This is a new experience for me. So I'll tell you my streak of Thanksgiving. You want to put out the loser alert? Is that, dude? You have the nerd alert. We got the loser one?
It's not a loser. I worked last Thanksgiving, so be careful what you say.
If I'm able to get this Thanksgiving off, it would be the first one that I don't work since 1995.
Well, you know what? I will be here. So if you'd like to hang out with me, it's an easy night to work, is it not? There's four football games.
I think you missed that year. The last time I was at home on Thanksgiving, I didn't have to work.
Yes.
Barry Sanders was playing for the Lions. It was 1995 the last time I didn't work on Thanksgiving.
I wasn't even working. I was not working in 1995.
Yeah. See, this is the problem.
Wow.
So from 96 on. So I would love to not be here.
Does that mean you're older than me?
I don't know. Probably.
Or you just started working earlier than me.
I was dumb from the start. I started working in a supermarket. I was 16, 17.
Well, no, not that kind. I had my first job when I was 12, yes.
Well, no. Well, that wasn't my first job, but I meant the idea that I went into a business where we would not be off on holidays or weekends.
Oh, you don't just mean radio.
No.
I get it.
Yeah. So I was all of, 16, 17. I was already working holidays and weekends from the start. Then I went from, bouncing around to a lot of different jobs to this business where you work every holiday and weekend.
Oh, yeah, you do. So, because that's when all the good stuff happens.
Yeah, it's a brilliant line of,
It's a brilliant strategy.
Yeah.
For a good family man.
It really was.
It's why so many people I know have gotten out of the business. I mean, that's why people, because the money sucks. There is no money in it. And the hours.
We're giving away a lot of secrets here. So the hours suck.
Hours
you're
going to
miss
terrible.
Holidays. You're never going to see your family and the money's awful.
You work weekends. Exactly. And the money's terrible. I mean, I'm 20 years in, still working paycheck to paycheck.
Then again, we also don't really work when we're at work. So,
that's not true. I dispute that. How about try hosting a network show without a producer and see how that works for you?
I am also wearing a Metallica t-shirt. I don't want to sit here and cry.
I'm not wearing a Metallica t-shirt.
There's some positives.
There are positives, but the negatives are that sports never stop. And so your job essentially doesn't stop very often.
No.
Right. So, okay. We'll debate that some other time. But you can ask Amy anything, or you can ask Marco things if you really like.
And thanks, Lauren.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. Joe.
You owe me an apology.
Probably not.
I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
You go on the radio and you say that a 32-year-old running back is not an old, is not old for that position.
Wait, what in the world, dude? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I do because you called me delusional.
No, you were the one that said illusional. We have the drop. You want to hear it?
I like to hear that. You called me illusional. I called you illusional. You called me. I was illusional.
That was you, Joe.
No, that wasn't me. Do you still think a 32-year-old running back?
I have said repeatedly that 28 is the point at which teams start to shy away from running backs. Wait, so he wanted an apology because I called him illusional? You're still illusional.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
That seems fitting for the hump show. I know, sometimes you do a face plant. Boom, right into the hump. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, on Twitter, or on Facebook. You can find us and send your questions for Ask Amy Anything because it is the hump show, which means you get to ask me directly this time because I'm actually the one looking at the questions. And right now, trying not to laugh at some of you, guffaw, cackle, if you will, or roll my eyes. But don't worry. Right now, KD really has the corner on the Amy Lawrence eye rolls. You haven't approached that level of eye rolling just yet. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Appreciate so many of you who responded to our show question from 24 hours ago. The answers were still coming in, even. In the last couple hours, we asked you, in light of the NFL's track record, where roughly half the playoff field turns over every year, which teams that were not in the tournament in 2021 will, in fact, make the playoffs after this upcoming season? And we had hundreds of answers, but some of the most popular: the Miami Dolphins, the Baltimore Ravens. We did get one vote for Cleveland. I'm sorry. That's funny. A lot of people believe the Colts will make that jump. And remember, they would have been in last year. They had two opportunities in week 17 and 18 to win and get in, and they did not. And Carson Wentz, not the only reason why, but he ended up getting traded because of that. So the Indianapolis Colts now with Matt Ryan and the breakout season that Jonathan Taylor had, at some point over the next couple weeks, we'll do a fantasy hit. We'll talk fantasy football. I have not been invited to play fantasy yet this year, so we'll see. Anyway, the Colts, because of the leadership and all the other pieces, inserting a Matt Ryan into that lineup appears to be a popular pick for playoffs this season out of the AFC South. And then in the West, we got all the answers. Yes, Chiefs and Raiders made the playoffs last year, but Chargers and Broncos, some of you insisted that the Chiefs will not be part of the playoffs this year, which would be stunning. Shoot, I can't remember. What did they start out? 3-5 last season, 4-5 last season, and then rattled off 7-8 wins in a row. They have that potential all the time. So that was from the AFC, the popular answers. In the NFC, I did see some Giants. I didn't see many Commandos, but I did see some Giants out of the East. In the NFC North, a bunch of Packers. Oh, no, wait, sorry. Bunch of Bears or Vikings to supplant the Packers. The Packers, obviously, have been the division winners there for quite a while. In the NFC South, I did see some Panthers and Saints. I saw the opposite for the Falcons. It's like you were voting no for the Falcons. And then in the NFC West, where three of the four teams made the playoffs last year, I saw maybe one team, one Facebooker, I believe, who said Seattle but indicated it was wishful thinking. So that's kind of the deal, is the popular answers. You know those teams that are poised to make a jump, but we also know that the NFL is the best reality show on TV, and when you make predictions, the NFL laughs in your face. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. No laughing matter around Deshaun Watson, not for anyone involved, whether it's Deshaun himself, whether it's the Cleveland Browns and their future, though football is secondary here, whether it's the NFLPA, who is bound by their contract to defend their clients or defend their members, I should say, in this case, Deshaun. And then, of course, the NFL, who has appealed the 6-game suspension handed down by their own disciplinary officer, Judge Sue L. Robinson. So why Roger Goodell, commissioner of the NFL, is the league appealing that 6-game suspension for Deshaun?
Because we've seen the evidence. She was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence that there was multiple violations here. They were egregious. And it was predatory behavior. Those are things that we felt, always felt were really important for us to address in a way that's responsible.
So he mentions the words egregious. And he does, in fact, point to Judge Robinson's own ruling, her own 16-page report that deemed Watson's actions, quote, predatory behavior. Now, if you weren't with us last week or you don't know the story, the reason why the 6 games was handed down, despite the fact that the actions were egregious and predatory, according to Judge Robinson, it's because she looked at precedent, the NFL's own precedent. And she felt as though it would have gone, I want to say against convention, but against the pattern that the league had set up to just midstream decide that this case should be the new precedent setter without actually changing the CBA, without informing its members. These are the rules, quote unquote, that the athletes sign as part of the personal conduct policy. There are general guidelines and discipline that's laid out. Now, here's one area where the NFL might be able to get around that on appeal. There were 4 women whose cases were presented as part of the NFL's side of the hearing in front of Judge Robinson. If you take each of those cases separately, and each of those cases results in a 6-game suspension, well, then now we're talking about more than a year, or the indefinite suspension, the longer term that the NFL wanted. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You know those headlines that make you stop scrolling and actually read an article? I'm Mike Rogers. Those are the kinds of stories I'm diving into on my podcast, Something Offbeat, like the caterpillar infestation in Maine that had us rethinking our relationship with insects.
We were talking about a time 300 million years ago, if you can imagine. There was a dragonfly. It had a 2-foot wingspan.
Just search for Something Offbeat in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today, anywhere podcasts are found.
You know those headlines that make you stop scrolling and actually read an article? I'm Mike Rogers. Those are the kinds of stories I'm diving into on my podcast, Something Offbeat, like the caterpillar infestation in Maine that had us rethinking our relationship with insects.
We were talking about a time 300 million years ago, if you can imagine. There was a dragonfly. It had a 2-foot wingspan.
Just search for Something Offbeat in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.